This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOCDALI. All right, so things might be calming down just a little bit. It might be starting to look like a presidential election that we kind of remember from years ago. It's been an absolute disaster up until now. I think last night's debate went well. Overall, Kristen Welker, I think, did a very good job. I think she moderated as well as she could of all the other previous debates that we saw. I think she did a pretty good job. I think she kept her cool. It's interesting because I always kind of watch to see signs of how nervous, you know, people get. And you could see she kind of kept her cool. In terms of Trump and Biden's performance, it was nice. I think it was nice to be able to hear, you know, what everybody had to say. And in fact, I think it worked towards both candidates' advantage, because the back and forth and the fighting and the, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, we're kind of beyond that. Now, I was kind of at a little debate party last night, and there were a lot of young people there. Okay, I mean, I used to be the young one, now I'm not. And there were some Z's, Gen Z's there, or Zoomers. And, hi Carolyn, happy Friday. And it's interesting. I was worried that when you started to see Trump and Biden kind of argue and, you know, kind of go after each other, again, it looks like a room full of grandpas, you know, and I just remember, you know, growing up, whenever family got together, it was, you know, grandpas beating up on grandpas or, you know, I don't know, it kind of made me a little nervous, and I was really wondering how the younger people looked at that, and I was like, you know, guys, you know, fracking. They go off on fracking. I mean, what appealed to you? What did you guys want to know about? You know, did the young people want to hear more about what's going to happen to college, or what's going to happen to their college debt, or what's going to happen to, you know, the industries and what their careers could look like post-COVID, or the economy, or the, and it's interesting because, you know, there was probably maybe about 6-7 young people there, and they were like, no, this was good. This appealed to us too. We, you know, we care about fracking because we care about the environment, or we care about, you know, the integrity, and, you know, we're kind of concerned about, you know, taxes and the laptop and all that. So it turns out that, you know, even though I've been kind of concerned that the GOP and the Democrats have some of the oldest candidates ever to have run for office, there really is an appeal to younger, you know, younger individuals. And me being a Generation Xer, you know, I think we're the kind of the generation where we're like, well, we want to see our generation do, you know, we kind of appeal to our own age. And I don't know if that really pervades across the other generations. I think some people really do like, you know, seeing the old guys up there kind of fight. And so, you know, for the most part, it looks like it was well received. GOP said they won the debate. Liberal media says Biden won the debate. There were some gaffes. Luckily, nobody made a big deal about it, because I think that wastes our time to see who did a misstep and who misspoke. I think Joe Biden might have called the Proud Boys the Poor Boys accidentally. And I think, I forgot what Donald Trump did, but he said something and it went to the next question. And it was like, oh, no, I hope he didn't say that. So there was obviously some gas on both sides. But then again, I mean, a lot of us misstep our words. But the one thing I want to bring up that I think every candidate is kind of missing is people are nervous. And they're not so much nervous in terms of, oh, you know, Biden might get elected or Donald Trump might get reelected. I think the reason why people are nervous is because when candidates are up there acting like they're going to take our world now and just completely shift it, you have a lot of people out there that are kind of like, okay, I like change, But I don't want anything drastic. And I think it's because we all saw what happened with Obamacare. All right, Obamacare was a big, drastic, bold move. And I think it was a disaster. There were a couple things there that were interesting and salvageable. And just like we're going to be speaking about Bidencare and what Bidencare means. But I know, Bidencare, everybody's been Googling, oh my gosh, what's Bidencare? We'll talk about that. But, you know, like the pre-existing condition clause, I thought as a doctor that was ridiculous that you had a pre-existing condition, your insurance wouldn't cover it. You know, I've kind of been anti-insurance companies for a while. So Obamacare might have helped kind of, you know, now put the lens on insurance companies, but the way the bill was done, the big drastic change was a disaster. And so the one lesson we learned back in 2009 is you can't just come in there and do these big, huge sweeps and then, you know, expect the country to, you know, still be, you know, strong and buttressed and, you know, embracing the change. So when we hear that the candidates are like, well, I'm going to be doing this next year, I'm going to be doing this next year, it kind of makes people nervous. Now, mind you, okay, President Trump is kind of playing defense now because he's being blamed for COVID. And he's being blamed for the economy, you know, because of COVID. And so, you know, the average person's like, I don't want this next year. So it's basically the Democrats' election if they could prove that whatever we're going through this year is not going to happen next year. The thing is half the country's like, do they really have that control? And what if they were responsible for much of the shutdown? I mean, you know, there's a lot of blame game. You know, why are we the way we are right now? Well, I honestly don't blame any one person. It's a bad virus. It's nature. I blame our response to it. We got all freaked out. We had so much hype, and now we're trying to, you know, backpedal and go, oh, you know what? Even though COVID's around, we could go back to school or we could go back to work. And now everybody's trying to, you know, backpedal and try to, you know, still not look guilty of, you know, possibly doing something that was a little overreaching, you know, over the past few months. But people don't want drastic change. They might want change. They might want things fixed. They might want a job like that. But I think a lot of people don't like that January 20th is a very big blur. And I find elections very frustrating because there, you know, I like to kind of see what the next few months are going to be like or the next 6 months. And the reason why we need this election to happen probably sooner than we think is because January 20th scares a bunch of us. And we just don't know what the world's going to look like and who's going to be in charge and all the changes they're going to want to make. 1-877-DOC-SALLY, don't go away. Guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communication Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Dr. Dahlia, and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. Okay, so last night in the debate, we got the term Biden care. A bunch of us started Googling. And I want to apologize. I know y'all are kind of sitting there, and I'm like, I don't have anything on Biden care established. I didn't know it was going to be called Biden care. I apologize. And maybe he did mention Biden care before. I know that Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, was going to do something with health care. Okay? We knew he was going to build on Obamacare. I just didn't know it was going to be called Biden care. I mean, I think we predicted it, right? Like Hillary care. If Hillary Clinton would have won, Obamacare was going away because it was going to be called Hillary care. You know, why be the president and carry on a signature policy, which stinks, and carry on that signature policy with somebody else's name on it. I mean, if I ever ran for office and if I ever took over anything Trump did, you know, like let's say there was Trump Care, I'd probably call it Dr. Dahlia Care. And mind you, any Dr. Dahlia Care would have extensive coverage of STD treatments. All right. And Vagifem. I really need Vagifem covered because I think for those of us women going through some changes, we really need our Vagifem. But that's for a different topic, different day. I'm not the one running for office. Joe Biden is. And so Joe Biden dropped Biden Care. So a bunch of us are kind of like, okay, Biden Care, what's Biden Care? So Biden Care is a, it's not called Biden Care, but it will be, and it should be. If Joe Biden becomes president, I think we should get rid of the term Obamacare. I think it should be Biden Care. I think he should get credit. So what Joe Biden wants to do, and it actually, if you look at his plan, it sounds nice. I mean, it's really hard to criticize based on what he wants to do. The only thing is it sounds like a bunch of talking points and I don't really see the realism with it. So one is having a public option. And they've been talking about public option since 2009. So a public option, which is actually something a lot of conservatives support, but they don't support it as a public option. The term public option in the Obama days connoted, this was before Obamacare, was we are going to have a system that you could buy into. You could avoid the Blue Crosses, you could avoid the Aetnas, you could avoid the United Healthcares, you could avoid the Humanas or the Cignas, and we will have a government option which is cheaper that you could buy. And people are like, oh, yay, you know, and for those of us that kind of understand insurance, we're like, wait a second, okay, that's going to put the insurance company out of business, and then we're basically going to be on a single system, and that's going to then be run by the government, and the government already doesn't really run healthcare well because we have a lot of issues with our Medicare and Medicaid programs. So to me, public option meant that's going to be a gateway to a, you know, socialized medical system. However, I'm very vocal about how I cannot stand how our insurance is on the shoulders and the burdens of employers. I think that's ridiculous. I think when you have an employer who's already trying to figure out how to pay for everybody and deal with, you know, the increase in minimum wage, which a lot of us support, and figuring out all the extra PPE and the COVID costs, to throw health insurance on top of that and then force them to pay for, let's say, birth control or abortion coverage or whatever, then they're like, look, I don't even want anything to do with the with my employee's health insurance. And employees don't want their employer up in their business when it comes to their health insurance because, you know, employees, they want their health insurance to themselves. They don't want anybody all up in their business and knowing what they want to use it for. And, you know, and then when they get fired, they lose their health insurance. So I really do think we need some sort of a system where we are not forcing somebody's employer to manage the health insurance, and then they could just fire you in a second and you lose your health insurance. So Joe Biden has suggested, again, the public option. So the public option comes back. And with this public option, it would basically be more of, I think, like a Medicare rather than a Medicaid plan. And he says it's going to reduce costs for patients by negotiating lower prices from hospitals and other healthcare providers. Okay, well, that sounds lovely. All right? You're going to negotiate with the government. All right? Well, I'm a physician. Okay? Already physicians are being paid like crap from insurance companies. So if you're telling me that under the guise of you being a public option, I'm going to have to work with you because you're the government. I mean, there's one insurance company that pays its doctors $2.42. $2.42. How much less is this public option going to pay us? So to me, that looks like they got us by the short, well, they just got us by the cojones. So I again, it sounds beautiful on paper, just doesn't sound very realistic. Then there's going to be tax credits. Now, I told you I'm a fan of tax credits. I think the biggest disaster with Obamacare is it was a fine, it was a spanking, it was a penalty. You don't penalize employers. You don't penalize people to do something because they're like up yours. What you want to do is incentivize. You want to incentivize an employer, right, to insure their employee. You want to incentivize an employer to hire somebody. Like I said, give every employer a $500 tax credit if they purchase insurance for that employee. Give them a $1,000 tax credit if they hire somebody. Because the taxes that employee is going to pay and the employer is going to pay for their employment will pay it back. And to me, I think it's an easy system. All right. With this, they are going to increase the value of tax credits to lower premiums and extend coverage to more working Americans. Again, that's a beautiful soundbite. It's a beautiful sentence, but the tax credits and the premiums didn't really work for us. All right. You know, the insurance company just said, fine, our plan is now $1,200 a person. Government, you pay us this. Well, look at what it cost. So you're going to do more of that? You know, building on Obamacare, that doesn't convince me. They're going to expand coverage to low-income Americans. Okay, well, say that, and you can't not say that in an election, okay? You have to. Low-income families are struggling with health care, and if they can't get on Medicaid, okay, you're going to have to appease them. It's just, that's a no-brainer. So what are they going to do? Well, he kind of rips on, you know, what happened with Trump, etc. And so he said he's going to ensure people making below 138% of the federal poverty level will get covered. So he's going to automatically enroll these individuals, right, into programs. And I believe the public option will cover the full scope of the Medicaid benefits. So they will expand Medicaid even more. All right, well, then just say that. You're going to expand Medicaid even more. Okay. Again, are states able to pay for that? Do we have the money for that? Again, it's something I think we all support. It's a no-brainer, but again, you could promise the world, tell us how it's going to work. Then he also suggests he wants to provide the peace of mind of affordable quality health care in a less complex health care system. So what he wants to do is make health care less complex. Well, one way to do that is to just get rid of all the competition and just say, look, if you're an American or non-American or you're here in this great land, whether you're here legally or not, you just get covered. Okay, if you're going to promise that you're going to make the system less complex, okay, that website was a cluster. Not his fault, Obama's fault, but the whole website, we spent millions on webs or billions on the whole website system, that was a cluster. And still, when I go on, you know, it's not very easy. I mean, there's this caca plan. Every time I go on there to see what plan I qualify for, it always has caca next to it. Like, remind me, like, this is a bunch of caca. So that's, it's still a little too complex for my taste. But all right, if you're going to make the system less complex, that's fine. Middle-class families are going to premium tax credit. They say that the premium is going to be capped at 8.5% of your income. So if you make $100,000, your health insurance cannot cost more than $8,500 a year. Now, I would like to see health insurance go down that much. I think $8,500 a year, that what equates to $600-$700 a month, that sounds lovely. That sounds wonderful. I just don't see them being able to do it. Remember, we have pre-existing conditions we have to protect against. We have, you know, I mean, insurance companies, they have to now insure people whether they're, you know, sick or healthy. And even though many of us agree with that, I mean, it's really easy to say, look, we're going to cap your premium. Okay, but who's paying for that? And then more tax credits, no surprise billing. Oh, I think everybody's a fan of that. Surprise billing is where you go to a hospital and you think your insurance covers everything, and then because you saw a specialist, all of a sudden you get their bill, and their bill wasn't covered, and you're like, what the heck's going on with that? So surprise medical billing, they're going to tackle that. They're going to tackle market concentration across our healthcare system. We've got to talk about that when we have more time. And then they want to partner with the healthcare workforce to lower costs and improve health outcomes. Okay, well, that's something kind of we're all doing. We're all trying to do best practices and make medical homes and things like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, but the one thing that is going to be interesting is he's going to allow us to buy prescriptions overseas. We're going to be able to buy prescriptions, according to his plan, Mexico, Canada, overseas. He wants to also improve drug corporations, their negotiating prices, and improve the prices. Well, once we're able to buy medications overseas, then there goes the American market. So is it going to kill the U.S. pharmaceutical industry? So I don't know what Biden care is. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. 1-877-DOC-SALLY. Don't go away.
Whoa. warning. If you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Israel and Sudan agreed to normalize ties in a U.S. brokered deal, ending decades of hostility as one of Africa's largest countries joins a broader diplomatic realignment in the Middle East. President Trump reacts to the news.
We're doing them one by one. We did Sudan. They wanted to do a deal, and that was in particular nice because they've essentially been at war with Israel for a long time. I don't know if it was fighting. I don't know that, but probably there's been a little bit, but certainly it's been for many years you've been officially at war with Sudan, and now it's not only the deal was signed, but it's peace.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis is meeting today with some of the evacuees from the state's wildfires. High winds have caused the fires to spread quickly. The East Troublesome Fire has consumed over 170,000 acres as of Friday morning. You're listening to USA Radio News. Democratic nominee Joe Biden's campaign is firing back after Tony Bobulinski, a former business associate of Hunter Biden, claimed the former presidential nominee was involved in his son's business dealings while he was vice president in the Obama administration. Biden campaign spokesman Andrew Bates saying there is no indication that former Vice President Biden ever got any money from anybody in these business dealings. Tony Bobulinski disagrees, and with more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Lance Pry.
I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden.
The U.S. Navy veteran said he was introduced to Joe Biden on May 2, 2017 by Hunter Biden and the lawmaker's brother, Jim Biden.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden delivering a speech in Delaware on the economy and COVID-19 on Friday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe, maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're just so pretty.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, let's kind of switch gears. We're going to talk about the American Heart Association and that they have released some guidelines, some new guidelines for CPR. It's been a while. And remember when we were taught to do two rescue breaths with every 30 compressions and then they realized that people didn't want to put their mouth on other people, so they said, you know what, just fine, just do the compressions. Right? And then we found out that a lot of women you know, weren't going to get CPR because people were afraid that they were going to be accused of sexual assault if a woman's there and they have their hands near their chest. So, you know, the American Heart Association has had to do some revisions, but one thing that prompted their new guidelines is the approach to opioid overdoses. So, you know how every death has been kind of blamed on COVID? Hold on. Excuse me. You know, oh, and that sneeze, yeah. So anytime somebody sneezes or coughs or whatever, it's been, thank you for the blessies. Every time anybody's, you know, looks like they have any sort of allergy or sniffle or whatever, that's, you know, blamed on COVID. Well, if you guys remember, for COVID, every sort of malady somebody had, if they were out of it or if they lost consciousness, was starting to be blamed on an opioid overdose. Now, I mean, mind you, we had thousands upon thousands of people die of opioid overdoses, but heart attack was still more common. So the American Heart Association kind of had to add some guidelines on what to do with somebody if it's an opioid overdose, or you don't know if it's an opioid overdose or heart attack. I mean, if you think somebody overdosed and you don't have naloxone, and you're standing there going, okay, I think he overdosed, and you're just standing there, you could be missing that that's a heart patient. So the American Heart Association said, look, if you can't feel a pulse and you think it could possibly, start the CPR. Don't wait for even if it is an opioid overdose. And an opioid overdose is preventing them from breathing or their heart rate, or you start to see, because remember, when somebody dies of an opioid overdose, their heart does stop. Eventually, then still give the CPR anyway. So I think that guidance was necessary. Another thing they added was a recovery phase to the chain of survival. So the chain of survival that they describe, it really didn't get a lot of news because it's kind of complex, where it's not just about a person giving CPR. It's not just about, you know, there being a great doctor and a great nursing staff and a great provider and great ambulance. It shows that there's all these essential links. But it also suggests that we need to be on it after the heart attack, after the cardiac arrest. So the American Heart Association brings up structured assessment for the anxiety, the depression, the post-traumatic stress and fatigue for a cardiac arrest survivor and their caregivers. I mean, you know, if let's say you're married to somebody and he had a heart attack, and he gets out of the hospital, and he's all spry and happy like we've seen Trump be coming out of the hospital. And he goes, all right, Dahlia, I want some hibbity-dibbity. And I'll be like, wait a second, oh, hell no. You just had a heart attack. You still have, right, the stickers and the, you know, you still have the sensors on your chest. I'm not going to have sex with you, and then you have a heart attack on me. No way. No way. You know, do something else for the next 2 minutes. I think there needs to be, you know, some family and spousal education on, you know, what to do with somebody who had a heart attack. You know, I mean, when I was growing up, I remember my father yelling at my mom, saying, no, you're going to give me a heart attack. You're going to, you know, he did actually have a heart attack. And, you know, my mom would like immediately lower her voice, you know, thinking, okay, it was all her loud voice that was going to cause the heart attack, you know. And I was like, oh, man, there is no way I'm going to be able to, you know, avoid not giving my husband a heart attack because I'm just loud as it is. Also, that sixth link in the chain of survival is rehab assessment and treatment for the physical, neurological, cardiopulmonary, cognitive impairments before discharge from the hospital. You know, it's not just about fixing your heart and then giving you a smack on the butt. They got to make sure that everything else is okay and you didn't lose oxygen to the brain. They also recommend a comprehensive multidisciplinary discharge planning for cardiac arrest survivors or caregivers, including medical and rehabilitative treatment recommendations and return to activity work expectations. You know, one thing to kind of keep you living is going back to living. So do you need to go back, you know, if you want to go back to work, if you want to go back to a sex life, if you want to go back to dating, if you want to go back to the wife, you know, go back to the in-laws. Not that people are scratching at the hospital door wanting to go back to their in-laws. You know, normalcy. All right, so less than 40% of non-hospitalized patients, when they suffer their heart attack, are going to be treated by a layperson, which means 60%, at least 60% of people that have a heart attack outside the hospital, most people aren't doing anything with. 40% might get CPR, but 60% nobody does much with. And 90% of cardiac arrest cases occur outside the hospital. 10% of them, you know, you might be in the hospital, you might have surgery, and then all of a sudden you have a heart attack. You're really lucky if you have a heart attack in the hospital. But 90% of the heart attacks happen outside the hospital. Well, if only 40% of those cases are getting CPR, we're looking at 60% of people that could die because people are not doing CPR. So we need to urge that, okay? Again, if you don't know CPR, take a class. Ideally, call 911 when somebody, you know, is down for the count. Lay the person on their back. If you think they fell or injured their neck, don't move them. Don't touch them. Call 911 first and let them guide you. You want to, if you do feel like they just, you know, passed out or they're having a heart attack, you want to kind of open their airway, check for breathing. If they're not breathing, you want to start CPR. I would also check a pulse, you know, check a pulse, because if they have a pulse, then, you know, but they're not breathing, then you would start the breathing. But if they don't have a pulse, you want to start chest compressions. You want to perform 30 chest compressions, 2 rescue breaths. That's the ideal CPR. For those lay people that don't want to put their mouth on somebody, they're worried about COVID, just do the chest compressions. And then you repeat until an ambulance comes or somebody brings an AED that could assess if the person needs to get a charge, etc. But the chest compressions, as the AHA suggests, is for a depth of at least 2 inches into the chest, okay? And you do it at a rate of 100 to 120 beats a minute. I usually use the song Stayin' Alive, Stayin' Alive, Stayin' Alive. Stayin' Alive. And you can, like, sing, too. Or you can do Another One Bites the Dust. Boom, boom, boom. Ooh, Another One Bites the Dust. Another one bites. So you can do that, too. I would just sing it out loud. But that's the beat to 100 to 120 beats a minute. And then they also recommend that, and like I said, this is huge. If you think they might have cardiac arrest, the risk of harm to patients is low to just start the CPR, even if they're not in cardiac arrest. If you can't tell, and you're like, I don't know if I feel a pulse. Hey, Mary, can you come here and see if you feel a pulse? I don't know. If, you know what? The AHA is saying, you know what, just start the CPR. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to crush their chest. Okay? If you know CPR, and you can do some chest compressions, and you have no idea if somebody needs CPR or not, go ahead and start it. Pediatric and infant CPR, they recommended that we do one breath every 2 to 3 seconds. So with pediatric, and a lot of the recommendations are for us hospital people and medical professionals. So we're going to be giving a breath every 2 to 3 seconds. So if we could do 2-person CPR on a child, that's ideal. Or, you know, you do the chest compressions and you quickly do the breaths. And then the pediatric fluid management got changed. When I was a medical student, you would give like a 20 milligram per kilogram bolus. Now they're saying do it in 10 or 20, but little aliquots of it, and then frequently assess, so you don't just give one. And I always thought that was kind of interesting. Like, how do they know just 20 milligrams per kilogram? And so, there's a lot of different suggestions in there. But when it comes to CPR, don't be afraid to start performing it, okay? And take a class. Learn how to do it right. 1-877-DOC-TELLY.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely. Hi, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly, as you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. I realized the media had been kind of ripping on remdesivir and what President Trump had received from Gilead. Remdesivir is an antiviral we've been using in the hospital now for months for COVID patients. And I guess the media a couple weeks ago said, well, it's not FDA approved. The FDA approved it. So the FDA has now approved remdesivir as a treatment for COVID. It's an antiviral. It's not the Regeneron. The Regeneron was the polyclonal antibody. It was the infusion of antibodies to help neutralize the virus. The remdesivir is an antiviral. That's a treatment we use in the hospital setting. We don't do it outside the hospital setting yet. But it's a good sign that the FDA has approved it, because that means we do have some, you know, some, you know, official and approved treatments for COVID. And it also means that somebody is kind of acknowledging that, you know, the doctors and nurses and the hospital teams are doing something right. So bravo, first responders and everybody out there on the front lines doing what they're doing, because it was you guys saving lives that allowed the FDA to be like, oh, you know what, this stuff works. So very, very good. Well done. Mitch McConnell got himself caught on camera in the news. No Zoom meeting. No Zoom meeting. No. Lord have mercy. Please be careful with the Zoom meeting. Gosh. Mitch McConnell was caught on camera with some pretty severe bruising. Now, I didn't think much of it because he's 78 years old. I've seen hands like that in so many people that, you know, take blood thinners or whatever, and I don't really know what Mitch McConnell takes, but people have been kind of freaked out a little bit, and Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, Senator for Kentucky, who I believe is having his reelection campaign against McGrath this go-around, this next couple weeks, had some pretty significant bruising on his hands, also on his right lip, and was it his right lip? Yeah, his upper right lip. And you could see bandages on his hands. And, you know, people kind of freaked out a little bit by that. I also noticed that on his, when he wore his glasses, you saw some significant bruising where his glasses were. And so when you see that as a medical provider, you're like, okay, if he is on a blood thinner, it's a little too thin. Okay, you know, we don't want anybody to spontaneously bleed, but we call those bruises in medical terminology purpura or purpura. All right, I always put my accent on the wrong thing, but I called it purpura, and I think they corrected me as purpura. Okay, a lot of P's. We have a lot of P's in medicine. But the purpura, okay, or the purpura, the bruising happens when you have blood vessel loss of integrity, or the blood vessels burst. And so you can have little baby blood vessels, little petechiae, little baby ones, or you can have larger bruising. So if you, like, fall on your knee and you hurt your knee, you have a bruise, we call it a bruise, but it's still purpura, okay? Now, older individuals may have something called senile purpura or solar purpura. I don't like the term senile. And we call it that, or we've called it that, because older people have thinner skin. So you notice you bruise easily. And I don't know if you ever looked at your grandma's hands or your grandfather's hands, but I mean, very, very thin. And they always seem to look bruised, whether on they're on a blood thinner or not. When we do see bruising, all right, we think of trauma. We think of maybe medications that could be messing with, you know, your clotting abilities, like, let's say, aspirin. Or maybe even some, you know, H2 blockers. There's other medicines out there that can thin the blood. We think of you being on a blood thinner for a reason. Mitch McConnell had broken his shoulder last year, and then a few years back he had triple bypass. He had three vessels blocked that he had to have bypass. He had a bypass cardiac surgery. A lot of times if you have triple vessel disease or if you have coronary artery disease, you're going to be on some sort of a blood thinner, whether it's aspirin or something stronger, if you have stents, etc. So I'm not surprised if he's on a blood thinner. But then you also worry about something like a bleeding disorder. And with bleeding disorders, that could be like ITP, TTP. There's disorders where all of a sudden your platelets, your clotting factors, just kind of get eaten up or used up. And you don't have enough clotting factors, and so just little simple things like clapping your hands could make you bruise, or wearing glasses. And I'm not saying that's what happened to him, but I understand why people were freaked out. And, you know, I couldn't really write much on the topic because, you know, when Mitch McConnell was interviewed by reporters, he's like, I'm fine. There's no health concerns. You know, do you have concerns about your health? You know, no concerns at all. He's a 78-year-old man who's probably on a blood thinner, and maybe things need to be adjusted a little. little bit, or he might need some vitamin K or whatever. So, you know, he says he's fine, but I understand the bruising kind of made people feel, you know, a little nervous. Now, another thing that made people feel nervous in headlines this week is there was a COVID-19 vaccine trial, I believe in Great Britain, and somebody died. I believe he was young. I think he was a volunteer. I think he was a 27-year-old doctor even. Hold on. He's a 28-year-old doctor. And he had got, it was an AstraZeneca vaccine, and he had died. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, AstraZeneca, oh, my gosh. And I don't think this is the myelitis one. I think this might be a different one. I'm not sure. But the patient never got the vaccine. He was in the placebo group. So he was in the group that didn't get the vaccine. So when you hear that somebody dies in a trial, the first question we have to ask, oh, and I lose my, sorry about that, I lost my feed. Hold on a second. Got to get my feed going on. I said, I don't know why they call it feed. You know, whenever I hear people talk about feed, I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, man. Well, anyway, so whenever we hear that somebody, let's say, you know, dies in a trial, that means we need to figure out, was it the medication they got? Were they already sick? Was there something going on? Or did they not get the medicine, the placebo? Now, there's been trials that have had to be stopped because we couldn't ethically withhold the medication. So placebo is like a dummy pill. It's a medication that isn't the active ingredient being tested. Now, when you guys hear double-blinded placebo trial, what that means is we don't want anybody biased going, ooh, I like you, so I'm going to give you this pill, which is the real medicine, or I don't like you, so I'm going to give you the dummy pill. They don't even let the volunteers who are working or the people working, you know, the study even know. So there's a bunch of pills, and it's already kind of calculated or figured out, you know, who got what, so they know. There's like, let's say, numbers, you know, like maybe an A457 and an A456. And it's not going to be something as easy as even numbers got the placebo and odd numbers did it. You know, there's some sort of a algorithm that they come up with so nobody could figure it out. And then the person takes the medication or they get the shot or whatever, and they go, oh, great. Now, placebo was really, really important because it's kind of like, in a way, it kind of filters out a lot of the questions we have in terms of, you know, did the medicine really work or not? So if somebody gets a dummy pill, let's say we're doing an antibiotic, okay? And, you know, people will, let's say, somebody would say, but, you know, they would have gotten better anyway. We could use the placebo trial as kind of our control or our evidence of what a population would have done if they didn't get the medication. See, you can't just give people the medication and then, you know, go and ask people on the street what they did. You still need it in a controlled setting. So how to control if the medicine doesn't work or if the medicine works, you need to have a group of people that didn't get the medicine. So what we do is we give them a placebo. Now, sometimes you'll see with placebos that people will do better. You know, like if you give a placebo to somebody who thinks they're getting a sleeping pill, they might fall asleep. And you're like, but the placebo was a dummy pill. It didn't have any medication. Well, because placebo is very powerful. You know, getting a placebo and getting thinking you're taking something, sometimes it's just psychologically enough for something to work. In this particular case, what we understand is he died from COVID-19 anyway. So, you know, yeah. So nobody should panic about the vaccine trial in that particular realm. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.